Jo Muirhead, and this is the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast, a podcast for health professionals who want to know how we continue to serve our patients and our clients without sacrificing ourselves to the work. More than a conversation on making money or just burning out, this podcast has been created to progress conversations that we need to have to ensure that we know who we are so that we can serve those who need our help, so that we can actually be the significant difference in the world. Well, welcome back to the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. I am your host, Jo Muirhead, and I am going to say that I'm excited about today's conversation. I probably say that every episode, but I know some awesome people. And the awesome person that I have on this podcast today is Kathy Love, who is a fellow Australian. Now, why is that important? Number one, we will talk fast. So if you're used to listening to podcasts on double speed, you probably won't want to do that today. The second reason is we will use Australian language. Now, for those of you living in Europe or the USA or New Zealand, we are probably going to use words and you're going to go, what the heck was that? That's okay. That's what social media is for. Just come ask me a question and we'll sort you out and make sure that you can keep up with the conversation. So I've asked Kathy to come on today and she got less than 24 hours notice on the topic that I wanted to talk to her about. But the cool thing about Kathy and I is that we have really, really high levels of trust with each other and we have incredible amount of respect for each other. So we've already decided that this could end up in hysterical laughter or we could end up in tears. So come on a journey with us now, audience, and let's find out where we go. So, Kathy, tell us a little bit about who you are, how you turn up in the world, who you serve. Why would I ask you to be on this podcast?
Hi, Jo. Thank you so much for the invite. It's always such a pleasure to catch up with you. I think we should do it more often. We say this all the time. So, first up, the podcast has already started in hysterical laughter, and I'm pretty sure that the listeners won't get what happened before we really started. But I'm Kathy Love. I'm the director of Naked Consulting. We're a small but mighty business coaching company here in Australia, and we provide services to allied health business owners, helping them run amazing businesses that really serve them the time and money and joy that business can bring. It doesn't have to be a burden, and you don't have to do it on your own, and it doesn't have to be a 60-hour week for everybody. So our wonderful clients are occupational therapists, physiotherapists, psychologists, exercise physiologists, music therapists, speeches, the whole gamut. And I think this could be a topic for another podcast, Joy, but there's more and more allied health businesses that are diversifying their services and popping up as well, which we think is absolutely amazing.
I agree.
Social workers, also allied health assistants, that's definitely another podcast. So yeah, our people are allied health business owners who want to do business better and easier.
Oh, allied health business owners who want to do business better and easier. Sign us all up here, Kathy.
I should get a t-shirt.
Yeah, we should. My t-shirt currently says, but first coffee, because it's Friday morning and
I've done the coffee run.
Okay. I love that you brought up music therapists because they're coming into my world as well. Music therapists who are doing private practice, art therapists who are doing private practice, dance therapists who are doing, other somatic practices. And I just find it fascinating because many, many years ago when I graduated, stuff wasn't heard of. It was almost voodoo.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. And some of those disciplines have got really strong, evident, growing and fast growing evidence bank as well. Mm. And in some ways, sometimes more evidence driven than some of the other disciplines. Anyway, so what are these burning questions you got, Jo?
So the first one I want to ask, because you've been coaching allied health business owners now for a little while. You're not new. You haven't been doing this for 6 months. How long have you been doing it?
For a Friday morning, that's quite an aging question. I can answer in a way that I did my coach training in about 2010. And at that point, there was a realization, oh my gosh, I have worked in this way for pretty much my whole professional career, which at times had me on the edge of clinical practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that. And then I pretty much coached our son and daughter. And it was coaching is a phenomenal tool for teenagers. Coach team, coach clients in that coach approach piece. And so now, I think it's interesting here that I would have to think very, very deeply about where my occupational therapy DNA sits with and against,
mm-hmm.
as in good tension, right?
Mm-hmm.
My coaching thinking as well. So, yeah, I've been coaching humans for a very long time, and I've been coaching little people and their families for probably 30 years, if I think about it. I've been coaching business owners since about 2012, I think that is, 10, 11 years. And I think where our conversation might go is just the scope of coaching and as much as we think what it isn't.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the conversation I wanted to have with you today. So that we've got all of these. For me, it feels like every day if I open up Facebook, there's a new person professing to be the next best thing in private practice coaching.
Yeah, there's a lot, isn't there? This year, funny.
Yeah, and I must admit, I'm now of an age, and maybe it's maturity and wisdom where I kind of go, oh, honey, don't. Let's just be careful about this, please. So I'm asking some really seasoned coaches that I know do this well, have incredible reputations. What is it? What is coaching for private practice businesses? If I was a client, what should I be expecting?
Yeah. The word coaching has had a lot of conversation for decades, a lot. And life coaches, I was talking with a life coach just the other week because I'm looking to upgrade my coaching qualifications, and I've got a couple of really exciting calls next week for which agency I'll do that with. And so I was talking with my friend, and she was saying there's still this ongoing thing about what coaching is, and that it's not counselling, it's not repair, it's not a rehab kind of piece. But it's delicate, if you like. And so a coaching, as I sort of understand it, is very much working from a strengths-based approach and very much from a wellness point of view in terms of life coaching. And I guess when we're thinking about coaching for allied health business owners, it does edge to consulting and it does edge to training.
Yes.
So we provide monthly training for our members on really niche allied health business topics. And our playground is, playground at NDIS. I can't use those words together, but don't edit that out because that's just real. And so we know when we're training, but we also know when we're consulting. And I think the consulting and the coaching thing is harder to define. So coaching can be a very vibrant strength space. Well, what are you stuck on and what have you thought about? And tell me a bit about those options. And do you think one is going to land better than the other? And how would that look? And how are you going to decide? Like I just asked one of our clients the other day, how are you going to decide about that? Like I already had some frameworks in my head and possibly what I would do. And I will offer that if asked or if there's I'll say, do you want to know what I would think? But that guiding and structured conversation, what are you stuck on? What are your options? How do you think it's going to roll? Have you got a favorite one? What's it really going to mean? How are you going to message that? Okay, and then what are you going to do? You know, it's all very well us talking about it. So, Joe, you will have picked that is pretty much the GROW model of coaching, which is a really, really solid, incredibly powerful, incredibly flexible coaching model as well. But because of my occupational therapy, because of my coach training, I know when I step over into consulting, well, I reckon you've got two options. She holds up three fingers. Jeez, I reckon you've got three options. I would be thinking about A, B, or C, and then you might kind of talk through that. But I guess consulting, we think of consultants, and we do some of this work, right? We'll go into a business, we'll look under the hood, we'll do some really deep diagnostic work, and then we don't write reports. Well, here it is. Here's the report. Good luck, people. Like, good luck. So that's me. I'm curious, what do you think about those intersections?
I'm glad you brought them all up, because I think there's a perception in the marketplace that a person in private practice, whether they're a solo person or they're looking to grow or they've got, I hear it a lot. I'll have the first conversation with people and they go, I just need somebody to tell me what to do. I just need a coach to tell me what to do. And I'm like, that's not coaching.
But there's a time and place for that. And the system is knowing the difference.
Yeah, that's like, okay. So then again, so I, like you, I said, so for me, I'm very good at telling people what to do. To me, that's my consulting hat. My telling hat is my consulting hat or my mentoring hat, depending on the. So if you come to me and you want specific answers to a specific problem with a specific way of specifically doing something, and I have those answers, I can consult with you on that. Is this going to fit for your business? In my case, I work more often with the individuals. Is this the right thing for you now? Is this the right next step for you now? But then the coaching, so I tend to use coaching as a part of my toolkit, right? Similarly to you. So my coaching is very much, I'm asking questions. They're expansive questions. They're questions that help people think. I'm very good at helping people think, but I'm also very good at poking that bruise, you know, that part of you that you don't want to admit, but that's the thing that's keeping you stuck. And then there's the training, which a lot of people are used to receiving from coaches. Because for coaches who don't want to do clinical work anymore, they're trying to find a way out of the one-on-one. So they go, oh, I need to train other clinicians on how to do other things, which is training. But what I don't think is happening very well at the moment is that I think we've got allied health professionals coming into not realizing that this is a burgeoning market, that there's nowhere near as much regulation or stipulation or expectation on the professionals who are coaching, consulting, mentoring, training.
Yeah.
And then they're feeling disrespected and sometimes betrayed, because the service provider, the coach, is selling them what the coach can deliver, not necessarily what the person is asking for or needs.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a bit of apprehension in me about even saying that out loud, because I'm kind of calling out one of my big frustrations with people who work like us right now. But I think if you and I can't talk about it, who the heck is going to talk about it, right?
We're hearing, oh my God, this could be like 3 hours, Jo. I want to come back. I don't want to stray, because we can stray really easily, right?
Yeah, we're good at that. Yep.
Yeah. If we think about coaching and consulting and training, I think developing financial knowledge and financial governance is a really good example of this.
Yep.
It's all I can think of. So I hope it's a good one. And so with the financial governance, training is most likely required.
Absolutely.
Most proficient, yep, financially comfortable, fluent business owners, there is still more or different ways or things to do, like how to work with spreadsheets, how to develop your cash flow forecasts, what a dynamic budget looks like, understanding your profit and loss, what on earth that balance sheet is. Like, there is a time and a place for training, and that's what we have resources on.
Yeah.
How you, the awesome human who has to interact with all of those numbers, that's where consulting and the coaching comes in, right? And so there lies the magic of knowing how to boost the business owner's confidence and capacity and capability, and having training assets in places.
Oh, I like it. So the other place that I can think of it is in recruitment.
Yeah.
So again, like with financial governance, so for people not familiar with that term, that means all the rules and regulations required of business owners to be financially viable in their business. So that's obligations to your tax people, to your industrial relations people. I'm trying to have an international audience mindset here. So for us, it's the ATO, it's the Department of Industrial Relations, it's the Human Rights Commission, it's all the workers' compensation, your PI, your PL, professional indemnity, professional liability, all of that sort of stuff. So when we get to recruitment, you and I can train, well, I won't, you can train on these are the things you need to have in place to have a really solid recruitment and onboarding system. And the reason why I say Kathy can train on that is because Kathy does that brilliantly. I don't like training on those topics. So if you need help with that, go to Kathy. So we can train on how to recruit, What do you need to put in your ad? What do you need to put in your position description? How do you make an offer of employment? How do you onboard somebody? So there's specific modules that have specific learning outcomes. But like you've said, the coaching dynamic turns up and it's like, well, how do we make this make sense for your business? How do we implement this with you right now? Because how many times have you done training and you've walked away and you've not done anything with that new knowledge?
Yeah.
Are you asking?
Many times.
I also ask, Kath, how many recipe books have you got on the kitchen shelf? Like, same thing, right?
Yep.
And I just bought.
Nice.
Because they had pretty covered.
Yeah, they look good on the table. So anywho, so when a person wants to engage with a coach, what are three things that you would like them to be asking? If you as the coach were sitting there going, oh, I want to work with this person, right? What types of things is that potential client asking you about?
Well, let's just wrangle the words a bit. There's what they ask us about, and then there's what would delight me if I heard.
So okay, well, let's go with the delight you. Let's do the delightful one. Yeah.
I think it's important to do some due diligence, right? Mm-hmm. But not so much research that you've spoken to every coach in Australia, you've got all their prospectuses, you've got a spreadsheet of it all, and you just drown in analysis paralysis, because that happens as well.
Yes, it does.
That happens as well. And that's complicated, because that's going to show up everywhere in your business and you're going to be just in a holding pattern for many, many years potentially. We see that happen. I'm going to flip it around a little. If I was looking for a mentor around that due diligence, I'd want to know about the results they get, like tangible results that they get. Mm-hmm. I'd want to hear not always about the success stories, but also the experiences that our clients, our members have had. So I think results and experiences. So we like to introduce people to some of our members that are with us at the moment or have worked with us. I think that's important. I think also understanding, asking about the transformational value that they will get. Because I think that starts to open the door to doubt and fear, because they're friends of mine from time to time, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what is the transformational value? What is your relationship with success? Is that attractive or not so much at the moment? I think also asking about, well, I'm investing time and money here. Like, what does that look like on the ground?
Mm.
And does that relate back to the transformational value that they'll get? I think the time is an interesting one, because we can always find reasons for being too busy.
Yes.
To do the hard, not hard. Sometimes it's hard. I've done hard personal work, but sometimes we can always find reasons to not invest time in ourselves as business owners and not invest in ourselves as a conduit to business success. Because, one of my all-time favourite quotes is along the lines of your level of success will, always never be more than your level of personal development.
Yeah.
So you've got to be personally ready for coaching and understand that it is an investment in you first and foremost, and then the good stuff will flow to team, and then the good stuff will flow to clients. Like, we're very clear about our ripple impact.
Yeah.
Very clear, and working hard to measure it. Then I think there's also a piece around trust. Like, they've got to trust themselves to be able to travel with a co-pilot. They've got to trust us. And so mm-hmm. that's back to, well, do you know, have you got your stuff together? Like, who are you to be telling me how to run my business? And that comes back to proof and evidence, if you like, that what we do works, that we've got a robust model, which we do, that we've got resources, that we've got awesome, incredible team behind the scenes that make me and my coaches look good, right? So, I don't know, I think understanding the transformational value, being increasingly comfortable or willing to be comfortable with success and change and mm-hmm. success, the risk associated with time and money, and then trust. Trust them, the process, and us.
Yeah, that's great. What a great, and they're not usually the questions people come with. So a red flag for me. Yep. That's my biggest red flag is the first question a person says is, how much does it cost to work with you? I'm like, I am usually not the right person.
And then there's this sort of thing, oh, well, that's a lot more than my clinical supervision.
Yes. Okay, Jo's having hysterical laughter there because, yes, we're about to set you on a journey where you could probably earn 10 times the amount you are currently earning. They are the sorts of results you should be expecting, people.
We're not comfortable talking in multiples of millions. Multiples of millions. Yeah.
Yes. But we're also comfortable. So the other thing is if I have somebody who comes along who just says, I need somebody to hold me accountable. Need someone to hold me accountable. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And it usually means they want me to boss them around and make them do stuff. That no. If you need that level of direction, you're not ready for the growth that you think that you want.
I think accountability is a great one. We hear that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't have accountability, but the person who comes in going, I want to meet with you. I want to have access to you every day so you can tell me what to do every day. No.
Sometimes that accountability piece, I wonder if it's the cousin to I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them in good company as well. So
right.
I want to be supported to the best next things for me, for you to be guiding me to do in my business. And I want you to support me to implement and to show up as an implementer as well.
Right.
So
nice. I love that. The implementation piece, I don't think we can talk about that enough. I think that the coaches that are very good at turning up to session, listening, hearing you do your download, giving you two things to do at the end of the session, not booking a next session with you and not willing to walk with you, I think we need to be a little bit careful of that because I'm not sure that that's going to get people the results that they want. Just calling me up and asking for one session of coaching to get you from, I don't know, what
500,000.
Well, some people usually, I've got too many clients and I'm burning out. I've got too many clients. I'm burning out. I haven't slept for 6 months. I just want a coaching session with you to fix it.
Oh, my heart breaks hearing these stories.
Because I'm like, oh, mine does too, but I have to, I'm not here to be your best friend. My job is to actually go, one session isn't going to fix this. The Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast is proudly sponsored by Purple Co, the Purpose for People company. If you or someone you know is struggling to make sense of the world of work, of employment, after a diagnosis and injury, or they're recovering from some type of forced change in their world, then the consultants of Purple Co are the people you want to engage with. Learn more about how we help people take back control of their lives by visiting our website, www.purpleco.com.au.
It's pretty amazing how hard allied health business owners work, don't you?
Correct.
Like, unbelievable. We just salute them on a daily basis. But do you know when we make even more noise? We get really, really noisy when their work week is 60, then 55, then 50, then 45, then 40. Let's just do the maths to 20 hours, right?
Yeah.
Like the delusion that you can manage a really big team and be financially successful and compliant and a destination business on 20 hours a week, 10. Pretty cool, hey?
Oh, I get excited by that because I know that that's possible. Mm. I get excited when my measurables end up being, well, you're sleeping. You're now sleeping through the night. You've increased your own personal billable rate, you know, by 20-30%. You've gotten rid of some of those insurance companies that are paying you $37 an hour. You know, sleeping through, because if we haven't got our sleep, nothing's gonna work.
Oh, completely. We could so talk about sleep because we'll do that. We'll just do that next time. So I think that just speaks to the due diligence about for people thinking about coaching to really think about the transformational value.
Yeah.
And their relationship with change and success, doesn't
nice.
It? Like, yeah. Because how easy to just stay the same. Like,
well, it is. And a lot of people will come and they'll start something, and you will have noticed this. They start and then it gets uncomfortable because change is happening. And they it's just like, I'm too tired, I'm too burnt out, I'm too worn out, I can't handle any more change. So they just go back to what they know is comfortable because they don't have to think about it. Now, there is no criticism, there is no blame or shame with that. Kathy and I want more for you than that, right? But we also get why you want to stay where you are, because it's exhausting being an allied health professional. If COVID taught us nothing, it taught us that the most burnt out people on the planet will still turn up to work and serve the people who are sick. That's what we did.
That's what we did. So with this in mind, this was a question you were going to ask me, but I'm just going to pitch it your way first.
Oh, thanks so much, darling.
What do you think allied health business is going to look like? Let's just go 2 years, right? Let's just go 2 years. Like, just pretend we're at the bar having just that next mojito.
Oh, you mean person.
I'm not, because I've got some ideas, but they're crystal ball.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. So in 2 years' time, I think, and I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but, you know, we're allied health professionals, so we are fairly risk averse. I think we're all, on top of our business hats, we're going to have to become chief information officers, and we're really going to have to understand our responsibility with things like cybersecurity, reputational management online, how that fits in with your HIPAA or your national privacy policy and your ARPA stuff here in Australia, because and what that means if you run Facebook communities, because there's legal precedent in this country that's just ripe for testing. If it's happening in Australia, it's going to be happening everywhere. So
it's happening in Australia. It's happened everywhere else.
Yeah. Okay. it's terrifying. And because people don't understand the risks and they think that their, you know, $300 a year Aon policy is going to protect them from it. So it's not. So as business owners, I think the next step, we've got to improve our financial literacy, always got to improve our financial literacy. We're going to have to improve our relationship with all levels of cybersecurity, not just a safe email platform. And this one is going to probably get me some hate, but every allied health professional under the sun needs to improve their social and emotional intelligence. Because you are so used to working from a diagnostic ill health perspective to help people become well. And we transform that or transplant that onto our team who are not unwell, but it's easier for us if they are unwell or they do have a disability because we know what to do with that. So I think we all need to improve our social and emotional intelligence so that we can help healthy teams become healthier. Here endeth my sermon.
The way I described that last part, Joe, is therapizing your team.
Yes.
And that's understandable because that's a frame of reference that you have for how to facilitate change.
Agreed.
But I would really question, I'm going to think about this today, actually. No, I'm not going to answer. I'm going to think about it, if that's okay. Sorry, podcast. I'll need some time to brew on that one. I think to springboard from that, and we're doing work at the moment with some consultants and bringing some stuff to our members next year, is managing multi-generational workforces.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And I think this is going to be really, really interesting. And I don't see it as a bad thing. I just think it's phenomenal. But I think it's going to be helpful to understand the assets and amazing talents across the generations.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, unless you can lead yourself, you can't lead anyone. And leadership at times is N equals one. You are leading yourself against the edges and with the aura of the person that's in front of you, right? So the generational stuff is problematic because it stereotypes people.
Yes, yes.
But to understand some of the context I think is cool, but to manage self against the edges of the person in front of you is really, really cool. So I think that's a bit of a trend. I think AI is going to be phenomenal. I've just been at a conference yesterday and may have had a bit of a late night, Joe. And AI came up in lots of ways. And we have a dedicated team member that is looking at AI and trends. And we are speaking about it and have a sizable project running week on week on week in terms of what is happening on that front. I think that kind of comes back to some of your cyber security as well. But the AI, Joe, we could be replaced.
Oh, really? I don't know if we could. I really don't know. There's many tasks that we do that can replace us, but I don't know if you as an IT could be replaced, honey. I just don't know.
Let's just wait and see. With some of the plugins on ChatGPT that we've been playing with, we've been blown away with some of the outcomes, actually. But where it needs that human touch is to go over it and say, yes, yes, yes. No, not so much. Yes, yes, I'll reword that bit. So there is that human touch there. Other trends, God, dare I add the NDIS, which is relevant for Australian business owners. We're waiting. We've had the Royal Commission here in Australia, which was extraordinary.
It was horrifying. That's just...
Well, sadly, many of us weren't surprised, rubbed for goosebumps. And here in Australia, we've had some pretty steep stories told through the media as well that sent people reeling. And now we're waiting, Australian listeners, as you know, the NDIS review is due in weeks to come as well. So whether it's trends or whether it's context, I think allied health business owners...
Yes.
Cannot afford
on
any level to put their head in the sand. They need to be engaged. They need to be in your Facebook group. They need to be in ours, pitching Private Practice Made Perfect. You can pitch yours. Because we are wanting to mobilise some energy to potentially respond and change some narratives around particularly the NDIS as well. I think allied health assistants are going to be really interesting, and they're probably called other things in other countries. Joe, you would be the expert on that. But I think the way allied health professional clinicians work is going to be changing shape in, I don't know, I'm kind of always pretty optimistic. I quite like change. I'm quite comfortable with it. But it might really throw a bit of a curveball across others as well. I think cost of living is going to be interesting, and workforce recruitment, and I think retention. We've been nuts on retention for years now.
Yeah.
But I think what the workforce wants and needs is going to be really interesting as well. Let me just think of the trends. Ignorance is not a defense.
No.
In the next 2 years.
No.
Generational management, cost of living, cost of business. We want surprises, but good ones, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So, engaged, alert, but not alarmed.
And you're working with the right professionals at the right time to help mitigate some of those risks. So for me, taxation compliance was always something that terrified me. So I've always spent good money learning about how to make sure that I was compliant, right? Because I don't want the ATO, the Australian Tax Office, running after me. Chances are they won't, but I don't want to live with that level of anxiety.
Yeah.
In our industrial relations laws in this country, like you can't pretend that you don't, like, I didn't know is not a good, if you are the director of your company, you cannot say, I didn't know.
Or like, bookkeeper does all the books.
Yeah.
My life partner does all the books.
Yeah. So if there's so many clinicians who build big caseloads, and then they go, oh, I could move out of this private practice or this employment place, do this on my own and get the whole $200 of my own.
Said no. Said everyone at the start.
Correct. I wanted to, yes, because I'd like, this isn't, and then they just keep seeing all those clients, and then they get behind in their billing, they get behind in their notes, and then all of a sudden they're subpoenaed.
And they don't realise the obligations of a sole trader, which is relevant to here in Australia, that you're going to find half of that in tax.
Correct. And then you haven't factored in the fact that you want some annual leave, some sick leave, some holiday pay, you know. So if your only motivation is I want that $200 or that, you know, $180 all for myself, yeah, there's some other resources. Profit first for clinicians, or profit first for therapists. I'll give Julie Harris's book a plug, is a good one. She writes about that really well in that book. So not doom and gloom. I personally think, Kathy, that private practice has an incredible role to play in the landscape of health.
Yeah. It's a really significant and to be celebrated contribution to the Australian social fabric and the Australian financial fabric as well. I've just spent the day at a conference and awards piece last night, and I want to shout out to all of the finalists, the Australian Disability Services Conference, and all of the winners. And you know what, Jo? There were so many phenomenal women walking across the stage.
Oh, that makes, I'm sorry, a little bit teary.
I know, right?
Yes.
Throw on the heels and the sequins. It was a really epic crowd.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And that not only raises the profile of women in business, it also raises the profile of people living with disability, and giving them incredible voice and teaching us all how to be incredible advocates for our clients, because essentially we do that whether we think we do or not. and I kind of take that feeling. I take that. That's an important part of my work. Oh, okay. So, Kathy, we have talked for a while. We didn't get to the second part, which means I have to get you back. Oh, shame. Oh, no, we did. It's all right. We found a few other things to talk about. So that's just me saying the only time we talk to each other is when we're doing podcasts. So let's do it again. Okay. So for people who want to find out about you, you mentioned you've got a Facebook group called Private Practice Made Perfect, right? So for those of you who are already struggling with the word perfect, please know that it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. And Kathy
will... And that name will probably be changing because it is so not our brand.
No, it's not. But I just assumed it was a tongue-in-cheek thing. Like, I'm going to pick out all the perfectionist health professionals, of which there are millions.
But... We thought it was good at the time. And this is my comfort with change. Like, I will own the fact that that is not the best name for the group right now. And the podcast, Private Practice Made Perfect, that is so not the way we think now. But that's a great illustration of business. We worked with a consultant. That's what we got. It made good sense. It was searchable. It was relatable. But it's not who we are now, 7 years later.
Oh, what a beautiful example. And I also love how you've thrown in there that we've worked with consultants. We made sure that we've been doing the work. You know, you've thrown that in a few times, Kathy, because I know that it's the fabric of how you get to where you are and how you serve the people you serve. Is you're always like, Kathy's always learning. She's always learning. Okay, so we've got a podcast. We've got a Facebook group. What else have you got? How else can people find you?
Yeah, head over to the website, naker.com.au, and... I guess I'll preface this. I don't want to go hardcore pitch here, but what I would like allied health business owners to think about is to check in with the help that they know they need, the business they want, and to reach out and get that help way before they think they need it.
Yeah, please.
It is so much more exciting and impactful and generally awesome is to start as you mean to proceed and to invest in coaching, consulting with whoever to just get those foundations right, because it is a different consulting coaching experience if you're reverse engineering.
Oh, heck yes.
A lot of infrastructure, mindset, systemization, outcome measurement.
I could go team on. Culture.
Yeah. So get the help you know you need before you need it. And I think that applies to supporting your mental health, supporting your physical wellness. We're just putting it in the frame of business help as well. So naker.com.au, book a power call, free 20 minutes. It's not free coaching.
Nice. Thank you. Well done.
So we've broken a few hearts, let it be said. It's amazing what people want for free. We all do that. I asked one of our wonderful industry partners for some free help for one of our clients, and of course he stepped up.
The client. Yeah. Oh, he did. Nice.
Yes, he did. Of course he
did. Yeah, that's
those
wonderful.
Those power calls, those discovery calls, I'm not sure what you're called, Joe. They're not free coaching, right? We can't change the word in 20 minutes. But it is the start of the dating process of are we a good match to work together? So there's a range of questions that are thought-provoking and interesting and curiosity-based, and then it will go into a strategy session with me or our business manager to really have a look under the hood about where you're at, what we think we could achieve together. Because I don't know about you, but I've always invested in coaching and consulting, like for 23 years. I've worked with all sorts of different people to help me get where I am, both personally and professionally and business-wise, and it's about the right person at the right time for the right reason.
I love it. That's one of my favourite phrases. It's the right person at the right time for the right reasons. And I'm always assessing, am I the right person at the right time for the right reasons for you when you come to speak to me? And if I'm not, let me help you find that right person, because I'm not always the right person. So if you know anything about recruitment and onboarding, I'm not your right person. I've made that very clear right now. It's not because I can't do it. It's just not something I don't like it. It's just HR is not something I enjoy. I just don't enjoy it.
You're awesome and you are enough.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, so we're going to leave that there. Kathy, the next time you and I get together in real life, in real personhood, what are we drinking?
Oh, well, I rabbit on a lot about it, but I pretty much don't drink anymore at all.
So what coffee are we drinking?
I don't know, whatever. Whatever.
No.
You know what I mean? It's the company and the conversation. The beverage is a bonus.
Oh, beverage is a bonus. We're going to leave that there, everybody. What a fantastic interview with the fabulous Kathy Love, as always. I have enjoyed this conversation. We've gone way over time, but I don't think anybody's going to mind.
Yeah,
so
turn us down if they want.
That's right. Or fast forward, because, you know, we didn't talk fast. Until next episode, go be your awesome self. And that is another episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast done. Just want to say a big thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. To all of my guests, a big thank you for sharing your time, your energy, your wisdom with me and my community. You are greatly appreciated. To Debbie and Jen, thank you for making this possible. And in the spirit of respect, please ask for and receive permission before you use any of my intellectual property. Because you know what? Not giving appropriation to creators is just not cool. Until next episode, go be your awesome self. Oh, and by the way, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave me a review so that other people are able to find this podcast. That's kind of important. Go do that.